All right, Ballots, brand new series, brand new year. I'm really excited. I hope you guys are excited. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about this series. A couple things I need to say first, right before we get started. First thing I need to say is a special big thank you to Andy Stanley, who is the pastor at North Point Church in the Atlanta region. This is their series. They did it first. They've been kind enough to allow us to use it as well. We took it and made it our own, but Andy Stanley did it first, so it will not be the last time Andy Stanley does something before I do. So if you don't know who Andy Stanley is, don't worry about it. But this is their series, and we really appreciate them letting us do it. Two quick things, and we're going to jump right in. Number one, and I promise this isn't a pitch to get you to come back. This series, more than pretty much any I've ever done, is a series that's going to build on each other. All right? This week's going to lead right into next week, and the next week they're kind of all going to come together to help us paint a picture of balance in our finances. So I really encourage you, do whatever you have to do. If after today you're like, man, this was good stuff, I want to hear some of this, come back next week. If you missed, we podcast so you can grab it. But more than most series we do, this series is really going to build on each other. So I encourage you to be here as much as you can. Last one, today's message, and this is really for people who've been here before, today's message is a little different than the way I normally preach. So just giving you a heads up. Normally, I'll talk a little bit, and then we spend a lot of time in the Bible, unpacking the Bible. That's going to be the rest of this series, okay? But today, I've got so much I want to set up as we build the series of balance. I'm going to have to talk a lot more. There's going to be a little scripture at the end, but that's not how I normally do it, and it's not how I'm going to do it every week, but this is how we have to do it this week. So hopefully you guys will forgive me for that, and we'll be good. So let's jump into talking about money at church, which is everybody's most favorite topic, right? You all just came today saying, man, I hope we talk about money a lot. I want to talk about money. I want to hear about money. I want to hear about how God wants my money, because that's what you all think, but it's not true. But the series is called Balanced. And so before we talk about money at all, before we even dive into that, I want to talk about balance. Specifically, I want to talk about some of the laws, I'm stuck on a cord, some of the laws of balance. And I have my lovely little money pole, is what I called it last time. So that's what it kind of looks like. I was told a drum major uses that, so I didn't know what it was last hour. But so I want to talk about balance, okay? As you can see here, because I'm trying to impress you, I can balance this pole. Look at that. That's awesome, right? Come on. Give me something. Oh, that was pity. That was pathetic. Okay, so anyway, this is balance. And what I believe is that there are three laws of balance, okay? And I want to talk to you about those three laws. The first law of balance is reference point. If you want to balance anything, you have to have the proper reference point, all right? So as I'm balancing this money pole, my reference point is the very top of the pole. I can't take my eyes off of it. Because if I do, if I start looking at you, then it's going to fall. I can't keep it up there. But if I watch, have a proper reference point, I can keep it up there. Now, some of you know this, some of you don't. My wife, my lovely, lovely wife, was a cheerleader in college. And so that means she used to do the thing where you stood on a dude's hand, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I was talking to her about it one day, and I said, how do you do that? And she said, well, you have to have a proper reference point. So when she was up there up on the dude's hand, she would pick a point in the crowd or in the stadium, and I like to think she was looking at me. And she would just pick a point. We didn't know each other then, so she wasn't. But she'd pick a point and focus on it, and it allowed her to have proper balance. Okay? So that's number one. You have to have a proper reference point if you want to achieve balance. Number two, if you watch this hand, you have to have constant correction. Okay? Constant correction. When it goes a little one way, I fix it. And if you've ever, when you were a little kid, on a playground, tried to walk across a beam, you know, you automatically put your hands out and you're doing this. Constantly correcting yourself where you're going to go. All right, so if you want to achieve balance, you have to have a proper reference point. You have to have constant corrections. And then third, you have to have a clear objective. You have to have a clear objective. My clear objective right now is to keep this from falling. Okay, so I have a proper reference point. I'm making constant corrections. And the clear objective is to keep it up in the air. And when those three things work together, you can achieve balance. Now, I'm going to argue over the course of this series that we need to work as hard as we can to achieve balance in our finances, to achieve balance financially. And you may say back to me, why? Why does balance matter in our finances? And the reason you would ask that question is because you don't realize that your finances right now are out of balance. See, when I'm balancing this pole, if I do one of the things wrong, all right, if I stop making constant corrections, it falls. If I take my eye off of the thing, it falls. We have an immediate repercussion for being out of balance. The pole falls down. But you know what? In your finances and my finances, we can be out of balance for months, even years, and have zero repercussions for how out of balance we are. And that's why we never work to achieve balance. See, if you're like me, you started learning your bad habits. You started being out of balance financially way before you even had money. You were out of balance because your parents were out of balance. They never taught you how to be in balance. Or maybe you got your first job in high school or college. I did. You know how much I made? I made $12,000 a year. And that was all the money in the world. I thought I was rich because I could do whatever I wanted with $12,000 a year. I didn't budget. I didn't plan. I just spent it like crazy because when you're 17 years old, it's all the money you'll ever need in your life. And that's how you learned it. But the problem is, as you got older, you never realized, I can't keep living this way. I'm out of balance. But because you never had an immediate repercussion, you never saw immediate consequences to your being out of balance, you never course corrected. You never changed it. You never sought balance. And here's why. It's because, I'll tell you, this is deep stuff. Finances do not follow the law of Pinocchio. You know what the law of Pinocchio is, right? You do something bad, immediate consequence. You tell a lie, whoop, your nose grows. How many of you would lie on a daily basis if your nose grew when you lied? Anybody? How many of you would talk bad about somebody if your mouth grew when you were talking bad? How many of you look at stuff you weren't supposed to look at? Mainly I'm talking about men looking at other women. How many of you would do that in front of your wife or even that, not when your wife was around, if your eyes did this when you were looking? Right? Like a cartoon. Right? You wouldn't do it. But that's not the way it works. And your finances don't work that way. They don't follow the law of Pinocchio. We wish they did. I wish they did, because then you'd be better at it. But you're not. Because they don't follow the law of Pinocchio. They follow the law of the harvest. And here's the law of the harvest. It's very simple. You sow now. If you're a farmer, you get the field ready, and you plant, and you make sure everything's right. And then you know what you do for a really long time? You wait. And you know, for the first month after a field has been beautifully cultivated and planted and sown, and a field that is completely abandoned, you know what for the first month those fields look like? Exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. It's only way later where the fruit of the decisions, the fruit of the sowing, bubbles up. And see, that's how your finances work. That's how my finances work. Us being out of balance now, us making negative decisions now, the consequences come way, way later. For many of you, the consequences came in the last year or two with the economic crisis. All that went down, the housing market fell, all of it. Everybody's felt it. Everybody has felt the repercussions of what happened. And so some of your finances have fallen apart. And you spent the last 2 years blaming the financial crisis on your finances falling apart. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's what I bet. All that financial crisis did was speed up the consequences of what you had already put in place. Because your finances were already out of balance. And when we're out of balance, always, 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 when we're out of balance in our life, there's going to be consequences. Now, if you're out of balance financially, it doesn't always mean you don't have any money. It doesn't always mean the cost is going to be financial. But there's always going to be a consequence. For many of you, it's your favorite five-letter word, stress. Right? If you're out of balance financially, you are going to have stress in your life. If you're a mom and a dad who fight a lot about money at home, if you are a child of parents who fight a lot about money at home, if you're a boyfriend and a girlfriend who fight a lot about money, if you're a kid who's just dreaming to have enough money to one day fight about, wherever you are, okay, here's what I bet would be true if we really dug into your situation. There's enough money. There is enough money but there's not enough balance. See, couples that argue about money have different values for money. Should you spend or should you save? Should you get a new car? Should you lease a car? Should you put it on a credit card? Should you pay cash? Yeah, but Rooms to Go will let me not pay for it for 5 years. We need it now. See, there's balance there. You've got to figure out. And let me say this as clear as I know how. Those are not money problems. You think they're money problems. They feel like money problems. You tell people, oh, I just have money problems. Oh, I just can't afford this. Oh, woe is me. You don't have money problems. You have a balance problem. Your finances are out of balance. They're completely out of whack. Now, here's one thing. For the parents in the room, this is doubly important because not only are you messing up your household, you're teaching your children to live the same way. If you have an unbalanced house with your finances, guess what? They're going to leave, and they're going to be unbalanced. And when they go to college, and that guy's under the tent handing out free T-shirts, guess what? He ain't handing out free T-shirts. He wants you to sign up for a credit card. And they're going to do it because mommy and daddy have 20 of them. And they go to the place and say, pick a card, any card, just pick a card. And so they're going to sign up for it, and they're going to start saying, well, hey, I got this piece of plastic now, and I can go in this store, and I hand them this plastic, and they hand me this stuff. And that's fantastic. And they have this entitlement mentality because they've been taught, this is how you do it, baby. You just get a loan. We just put a second mortgage on the house. Yeah! Squeeze every bit of equity out of that thing. Because daddy needs a new pair of shoes. But you laugh, but you and I both know it's completely unattainable, unsustainable, right? But we chase it, and we get completely and totally out of balance. So again, for the parents in the room, if your household is out of balance, not only are you hurting your marriage, watch your toes, you're hurting your kids' marriage. And they're not married yet. But it's what you're teaching them. You're reproducing. If you fight about money, hear this. If you fight about money in your home, I can guarantee you, unless something changes, your children will have the same fights you do with their spouse. Guaranteed. Because they learned it from you. And don't worry, I'm not going to beat up on parents today. It's not this kind of serious. But that's just the way it is. Now, transition real quick. This is also dangerous because when we are unbalanced, it creates worry about having enough when you have enough. You have plenty, but you're out of balance, so it feels like you never have enough. Because the second the money comes in, it's going right back out. To pay off that loan you got from Rooms to Go 5 years ago, you've already gotten rid of the couch. But you're still paying for it. Now, some of you in the room are feeling really good about yourself right now, so let me see if I can swing at you a minute. You can be unbalanced and not spend a lot of money. See, there's a whole other extreme here. People that are called cheap, called stingy. Anybody cheap in the room? Can I get an amen? You guys are liars. Last hour, I had a few at least admit it. Have you seen the show Hoarders? I mean, these people that just hoard, it makes me hurt inside. Anyway, that's just as out of balance as somebody that spends too much. And don't you think it's not? Don't pride yourself on, well, I haven't bought a new television since 1974. Well, then your TV's terrible. And you're a weirdo. And that's fine, but don't put that on somebody else. I never spend a dime. I save and save and save. Right, you're cheap and no one likes you. So, congratulations. See, it's got to be in balance. It's got to be in balance. You can spend too much. You can save too much. See, being out of balance in your finances will have far-reaching repercussions that you are experiencing right now and never knew why. And I'm telling you, it's because you're out of balance. It's because your finances are out of balance. Now, one more statement that's going to, I think, blow some of your minds, but here it is. Sounds counterintuitive, but it's correct. The more you have, not less, the more money you have, the more stuff you have, the easier it is to be out of balance. Not less. The more you have, the easier it is to be out of balance. And you know why? It's because whenever we have extra, we tend to get undisciplined about the extra. You know? We're like, oh yeah, man, money's rolling in. Like when I was 17 years old making $1,000 a month, because I was an idiot, I thought that was extra. You know? And then when I went to, you know, got in college, had my own place, and had to pay, you know, bills, I was like, whoa, this is not extra. This is not even enough. But I didn't learn that because I had extra, and so I had become unbalanced. See, many of you in here in the room today, you got plenty of money. You got tons of money. But you don't feel it. You don't experience it because it got easy. You didn't have to work hard. You didn't have to make tough choices. And then 2008 hit. Any realtors in the room want to give me an amen to how much extra you had in 06 in Myrtle Beach and how much extra you don't have in 2008? How many people in 06 took their extra money and built them an extra house in Grand Dunes and now it's empty? Because they got unbalanced. All right, and that's, I don't want that for you. I do not want you to be imbalanced. I want you to be balanced. And here's why. Because I know some of you are sitting there thinking, this is good stuff. This is, you know, like a financial seminar stuff, but why are we talking about this at church? Haven't really seen the connection yet. Here's the connection. I have read the Bible cover to cover, I promise. Read it many times. Okay? God talks about money a lot. He is always talking about money. He's always giving advice about how to manage our money. He's always talking about it. Okay, and here's what I've noticed, though, as I've studied the Bible, as I've studied what God said about the Bible, as I've prayed about it. Here's what I've discovered. It is impossible. Hear those words. It is impossible to be out of balance financially and to also have a healthy relationship with God. It's not possible. Put it another way. Imbalance financially is an indication that things are out of balance spiritually. Now that stings a bit. But it's true. Imbalance, leave that up there. Imbalance financially is an indication that you are imbalanced spiritually. That something deeper is going on. And some of you don't like that statement, and I know you don't. Because you come to church and you have the mentality that God and money should be like God and politics, right? We should not mix the two. We shouldn't talk about, you don't talk about politics at church. You shouldn't talk about money at church. Money is a private matter. Tell me how to be nice to my neighbor. Tell me how to love my wife. But leave my money to me. Okay? Here's what I know about you, if you believe that. Here's what I know. You're doing pretty well financially. In fact, you're probably loaded financially. Let's talk afterwards. But you're probably loaded. And here's why I know that. Because the second you're not loaded, the second you have any struggles financially, guess what? Your finances become a prayer request. You start writing on the back of your card, please pray for me to get a job. Please pray for me to sell my house. Please pray for me to get this second loan. Please pray for my friend who needs a job. Please pray, please pray, please pray. See, when you're struggling financially, man, you want God involved. It's easy to ask God to come in. Please, God, help me. I've made all these terrible mistakes. I need you to come save me. Basically, it's like a craps game. You're like, come on, God. Come on, God. Yeah! Did he just say crap? Craps. I talked about gambling, so that's better, right? But that's what we do. When we struggle, man, we want God in. We beg God to come in. So see, I didn't mix the two. You guys did. Some of you here today, you got a mailer. You got a thing in the mail, and you've never been here before. But you said, they're talking about how to balance your money. Don't say anything about giving my money to the church, so I'm going to try them out. If they talk about giving my money to the church, I'm out of there. But I'm going to check them out. So you mixed them. You want God involved in your finances. And that's good, because guess what? God is involved in your finances. He makes the two. He says the two go hand in hand. But here's what he says. If you want me involved, you want me in there, you want me to help, you got to do it my way. It's got to be my way. And now you're all bracing, because you know what I'm going to say. Give all your money to the church. Give your money to the church and I'll send you a cloth. You can rub on your head. It'll heal you. No. No. I'm not talking about giving today. I'm not talking about giving next week. I'm not talking about giving the next week. And do you know why? Because the Bible has way more to say about how to manage your money than how much you should give away. God has a foolproof, total plan for how you should be managing your stuff. And it is way bigger than whether or not you write a check to the church. So take a deep breath and just let it out. All right? I'm not talking about that for a while. I'm not going to tell you what week I am because you won't come. But here's the deal. Today and for the next few weeks, we're just going to open God's Word. Two verses today. Only two verses. We're going to open God's Word and we're going to see what He has to say to us about how to start this journey, how to start achieving balance in our life with our finances. How to put God first. How to learn to serve Him and let Him figure out our stuff. All right? So don't even worry about your Bibles today. We're going to have them on the screen. First verse I'm going to read to you is Matthew 6:21. Here's what it says. It says, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. In other words, as your money goes, so goes your heart. See, I sit up here every week and I teach and I preach, but you don't know me. A few of you do, but most of you don't. You don't really know me. You don't know what my house looks like. You don't know how I treat my kids. You don't know any of those things. You don't really know if I believe what I say I believe. Except I'll just tell you. You know the best way to know if I put my money where my mouth is to see where I'm putting my money. Look at my checkbook. Look at my credit card statement. Where's the money going? And does that live up to what I say on the stage? Or does it show something else? And before you ask, no, you can't look at my checkbook. So you just got to trust me. But see, some of you, you resist that. You want to pull back. Because what you want to say is, no. No. You can tell I love God because I read my Bible every day. You can tell I love God because I've even memorized some scripture. You can tell I love God because occasionally I'll turn it over to Caleb, listen to some Christian music. That really shows you love God. Wow. What I'm saying is some of it is bad. Not all of it, some of it. But you want to say, no. Those are the things that matter. That's what you think. Jesus says, no. Your money, where your treasure is, where your stuff is, the stuff you chase, that's where your heart is. And that's what matters. And deep down, you know He's right because you've lived it. You've all experienced it. You've had a relationship in your life with a friend. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a kid where their stuff was more important than you. And you had to battle it. You had to battle their stuff. Maybe you dated a guy in high school or college who had a brand new car, and he liked the car more than you. You spilled a drink in his car, and he yelled at you. So then you spilled more drink. But you've experienced that. Maybe you grew up in a household that had a collection of something that you were never allowed to touch. In fact, if you went in the room where the collection was, Mom would come running in from the kitchen. What are you doing? What are you doing? Your dad's going to be home in a minute. Don't go in there. And you had to walk on eggshells around it because it was stuff. Maybe you've had some fights recently because you're getting low on flow and you kind of want to sell some of your husband's stuff so your kids, you know, can eat. And all he keeps saying is, well, I don't care what we're doing. We ain't selling my guns. The revolution's going to start. I got to be ready. Or ladies, you're not out of this. You're not out of this. Ladies, you literally buy pieces of furniture to display plates that you will never use. You put them up in your house, and they're nice and beautiful. You, like, backlight them. I think if you open the door, like, music starts playing or something. I mean, it's a plate. But But yet, there it is. And if the kids ever touch those plates, man, it's almost as bad as touching the towels in the guest bedroom. Right? Use that towel. What are you doing? You have all fought with stuff before. You've competed with stuff. And here's what God says. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to compete with your stuff. It's not happening. I love you too much to compete with your stuff. What he says is, I want your heart. I want the real thing. But in order to get that, because I know where your treasure is, your heart's also going to be. In order to get your heart, I need your stuff. I need it all. I need every single bit of it. You need to give it all to me. Because if I have that, then I know I have your heart. Because if I don't have that, then I don't have your heart. Hear me. Hear me. I'm going to say this 1,000 times during this series, but hear me right now. Say it again. God. Okay. Let's just think this through logically. God. He is the God of the universe. He is the creator of all things. Okay? He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your stuff. Again, he's God. He created your stuff. He doesn't need it. But he can't have total access to your heart and your life until you willfully give him your stuff and say, all right, it's yours. I'm done. I love you, not my stuff. Now, that doesn't mean sell everything and give it all to the church either. It just means every day saying, I like you more than this television, God. That's hard sometimes. There's some good football on. But that's what we're called to do. And here's why. Here's why this matters. Second verse, Luke 16:13. This is Jesus again. Here's why this matters. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, if you grew up in church, you kind of want to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. That is not what I was always told. I was told you cannot serve both God and the devil. I'm very comfortable with that one. But now you're telling me my choices are God or money? Yes, I am. I am. I'm telling you that. Jesus is saying you have two choices. You can serve your stuff, your interest, your money, work hard, accumulate what you think you need, and just really hope God helps. And then when it doesn't, you know, you can play the heavenly craps game and just say, come on, God, and hope he comes through. Or you can surrender to God and you can serve him. That's it. Those are the two choices. And it's a choice we have every single day. Every day, you wake up and I wake up and we get to choose. Today, God, I am going to not serve you. I'm going to serve my wallet and I'm going to serve this car I like and I'm going to serve this. And I'm going to do everything I can because it makes me happy because I really, really like my stuff. And so I'm going to work hard, really hard today to do that. Or, all right, God, it's tough, but I know all this stuff's yours. You be in charge of it. You just tell me what to do with it. I'm going to go and do what I got to do. And obviously, I believe B is the right choice. I believe you should serve God because I think you need a relationship with God because it's the best thing possible for your life. 100%, it is the best thing possible for your life. But on top of all that, on top of all the fact that Jesus is awesome, that Jesus came down, lived a perfect life for you so that you could have a relationship with him, so that he could rescue you from eternal destruction, aside from all that, as I read about Jesus, as I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, I've read them, trust me, a lot. Here's what I notice. Same thing I notice about God. Jesus never once asks for your money. He doesn't. He does not ask for it. You know why? Because he doesn't need it. Because his goal was not to get your money. Jesus' goal, because he loves you, because he wants the absolute best for you, was to keep your money from getting you. That's the point. That's why he can say, it's God or money. Notice he doesn't say, it's God or sex. Notice he doesn't say, It's God or fame. No. God or money. I don't know why, but money has an ability to get a hold on us like we can't imagine. And we're going to talk about the rest of the series. And so Jesus is saying, I love you. I don't want your money. I just want to keep your money from getting you. And the only way I know to do that is to tell you, love me more, let me worry about your money, and you just stop chasing it. Stop chasing money. See, here's what I know about you. If you're a family that fights a lot about money, and I say this with love, I really do, but if you're a family that fights a lot about money, you're serving money, and you're not serving God, and you're out of balance. I know that. So, here's what I want to do this week. Here's what I want you to do. I told you the series is going to build on each other. We're going to have some assignments for you. And the good people in the room are going to do the assignment. So, you deal with that however you want. But here's what I want you to do this week, okay? I want you to begin immediately when you leave this room. I want you to begin spying on your money. I want you to track your money. I want you to know where every single dollar goes. Here's why. As you track your money, it will become pretty evident where your heart is. But now don't worry about that yet. Don't try to fix it. We're going to build on it. All I want you to do this week, all I want you to do, track your money. See where it's going. See where you're spending it. And here's why. Here's why. All right, we're talking about balance, okay? Three laws of balance. Reference point, constant corrections, clear objective. Our reference point here is to keep our eyes focused on the money side. In your life, the reference point for balance is the money. You have got to keep your eyes focused on where you are spending your money. If you want balance, you got to be knowing where the money's going, baby. Right? You got to know where it flows. You got to chase it. So here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Seriously. I want you to develop a system of some kind, a practice, where this week you can track every single dollar you spend. And some of you just had a heart attack because I said system and money. And you're like, it freaks me out. It's okay. It's not a big deal. You can do it many ways. You can start with a notebook. Just have a notebook. Walk around with it. If you buy something at Starbucks, write down Starbucks, $2. Who am I kidding? Starbucks, $8. You know, just write it down. Track it. And you won't have to do anything else. It'll immediately become apparent. Wow. I spend a lot of money on stuff I don't need. Or you can do what I do. Because I can't write because I have terrible handwriting, and I just hate writing. I used the computer when I was a kid. I used, as a kid. I was a nerd. I'll tell you about it in a minute. But I used to use a program called Quicken, where you could download all your bank transactions. Now I use a website, completely free. Could not recommend it higher. Mint.com. MINT.com. I'm telling you, go on today. Sign up for this site. Put all your banking information in it. It's 100% safe, but it literally will track bank accounts, credit cards. If you have student loans, it'll track those. If you have those, you know, 5-year no interest things, it'll track those. They have partners with just about every single financial institution out there. Sign up for it today so that you can start tracking your money. Spy on it. Know where it's going. Like I said, I've been doing this since I was a kid. I was a nerd. I started using Quicken in high school when I got my first job. In college, I used Quicken it didn't really help me, but it just was nice to know that I was spending all the money I made. But, you know, I did that. When I got married, we kind of did this together. We merged everything and started tracking it. See, many of you think the key to solving all your problems is to build a budget. If we can just build a budget, if we can just set a budget, everything will be okay. Guess what? You don't know where you spend your money every month. If you set up a budget right now, it would be insane. When I went from single to married, if I had set up a budget right then, it would have been ridiculous. I was single. I lived with five other guys. I ate ramen noodles 12 times a week. I washed my clothes once a month. And, you know, there were a lot of things I didn't do. I didn't go to the grocery store. It was gross. And my wife's not gross. And so I couldn't have come in and said, this is our budget. She would have been like, you're out of your mind. We're going to spend more than that on groceries, you lunatic. We're not eating ramen noodles every night. And so we had to track our spending for a few months, just track it, before we could know anything else. And as you will be, as we started doing it, we got really serious about it probably about 4 years ago. And we were shocked at where our money was actually going, as opposed to what we thought in our heads, where it was going. But you cannot make any type of corrections. You can't do anything if you don't have the proper reference point, if you don't know where the money goes. And guess what? This is a beautiful little side note to this. Once you start doing this, especially if you're married or in a relationship and you start doing this together, guess what happens? You stop fighting about money. My wife and I rarely, if ever, fight about money. And I know you want to say, well, it's because you're the preacher. No. No. Preachers fight. We do. It has nothing to do with that. It's really hard to fight about money when everybody knows where the money goes. We never feel the need to sneak around behind each other's back and buy something that she doesn't know about. We never have to try to explain it away. We know where the money goes. It's right there. We've talked about it. That's where the money goes. And so if she comes up to me in the middle of the month and says, Trey, darling, dear love of my life, because that's what I've asked her to call me, I humbly request some more money. And then she bows. She doesn't. This is all lunatic. And then I say, oh, dear, darling, queen of my life, yes, how much money would you like? And she tells me, and I say, well, whatever happened to the money I gave you before? And you know what happens? She knows. She knows. Well, I spent it on this, 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 and this. And so it's all gone. And I'm like, that makes perfect sense. Here you go. And I rarely say this, but what I do is better than what you do in this situation. It is. This is better. Because here's what you do. I need some more money. I already gave you money. What'd you do with the money I gave you? Spend it. On what? I don't know, you're stupid. It's none of your business. Just give me some more money. Quit treating me like a... And then you scream and fight. That's what you do. And it's because you don't know where the money's going. It just disappears. It just vanishes. It's going to find a way to get out. Money likes to be free. It don't want to live with you. We've been doing this for 7 years. I'm asking you guys to try it for 7 days. Okay? 7 days. Track your money. See where it's going. Spy on it. Chase it. And I'm serious. I'm kind of pleading. Don't blow this off. If you forget until Wednesday, start then. Or, you know, if you can't be like insane about it like I am, just try it. Please. Just start tracking your money. Because everything we're going to do for the rest of the series is going to build off of this principle. That we've got to know where our money's going. Because once we can track it, once we get a hold of it, that's when we can actually start making some corrections and trying to achieve some balance, okay? It's our reference point. All right, let me close with this. I've told you how God feels, the Father. I've told you how Jesus feels. And I want you to tell you how I feel, okay? Because as of right now, God and Jesus aren't directly affected by how much money you give to this church. I am. Full disclosure. So hear me when I say, and we're going to pass around baskets in a minute, and you're going to clap, and I hope you give. But seriously, you need to hear this from my heart. And there's no way you can know if I'm telling the truth or not. Believe me, I really am. I'm not doing this series because I want your money. At all. I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. I really do. I want you to trust God with every area of your life. And he's told me that the hardest one for you to trust him with is your money. So that's why we're talking about this. because I want you to experience what God gives when we trust Him, when we find balance financially. I want you to experience that. I want you to be free to go and do whatever God wants you to do. I want you to be secure financially. I really do. And that happens when you take God's principles and apply them and you start achieving balance in your life. And here's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. I want you to be content. I pray that over you, that you will learn to be content. Not constantly dreaming and constantly chasing that thing that you think is going to make you happy and works for about 10 minutes. Quick question. How many of your kids are already sick of their Christmas presents? Anybody? Mine are. Money well spent. They like the box better. We're going to buy. Anybody got any extra boxes? That's what I'm giving my kids for Christmas next year. Here's your box. Discontentment, it's going to get us. That's a few weeks away. Here's the deal. We need to work to achieve balance in our finances. You get that. The proper reference point for balance is our cash. We need to be knowing where the money's going. We've got to chase it and track it. Next week, we're going to learn the objective. What is the purpose behind the whole thing? What's the purpose of money? My clear objective here is to keep this thing. Keep it from falling. What is our clear objective from God when it comes to achieving balance in our finances? What's the goal? Don't miss it. Spy on your money this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, man, we love you. We are just so, so thankful that you love us and that you take the time to put it in your word, how we should handle the blessings you've given us, Father. Lord, I just pray as sincerely as I know how right now over everyone here, over everyone who attended both hours, Father, that you just begin a work in our hearts that only you could do, Father, to teach us and to show us and to convince us that you love us and that the reason you have ideas for how we should use money is because it's better for us. That the reason you have rules and boundaries is because it's better for us. You don't want our stuff. You don't need our stuff. You just love us. God, I pray you make that evident in all of our lives. Lord, I pray this week that you do give us a conviction to go home and put this into practice, to start spying on our money, to track it, to know where it's going so that we could have the proper reference point, Father, as we walk through this series together. I love you so much, and we thank you for your patience with us. In your name we pray. Amen.